sing, says the psalmist. Sing to the Lord, because the God that we're singing to doesn't actually play favorites. Sing to God, because the one who created all things will come again and restore equity to all. Sing to God, even on the rainy days.
That's the Reverend Kimberly S. Jackson, and today she brings you a challenging message entitled, Quack Like a Duck, Singing in the Rain. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Kimberly S. Jackson, Associate Rector for Adult Formation and Service Ministries at All Saints Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Kim is a public theologian and a fierce community activist who works to end the death penalty, advocates for women and children's issues, and is passionate about sharing the liberating gospel of Christ. When she's not wearing a collar, you can find her in the gym perfecting her weightlifting techniques. Kim is a graduate of Furman University and earned her Master of Divinity at Candler School of Theology at Emory University. Kim, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Peter.
All Saints Episcopal Church has a long history in Midtown Atlanta and continues to thrive today. What is your elevator speech about this parish and its people?
All Saints is this wonderful community of people. We like to say we're a community of all sorts, all saints and all sorts. And I think that's true in so many ways. I mean, you have people from various walks of life who come to worship, and we worship together in this beautiful sanctuary with a real, I think, sense of holiness and awareness that even if people come from a place in life where they might have more power and more money, in that space, we all worship together and recognize we worship the same God in this beautiful way.
And being in the heart of the city, it's very active in ministry.
So I like to refer to All Saints as being a church in the city for the city. And so we have a number of ministries that serve people in the city. And outside of it, we have a very significant refugee ministries that actually serves people who live just outside of the city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And all of those folks have been resettled by our government just outside of Atlanta. And we provide them with all kinds of services and do ministry with them and really help to get them resettled and established as citizens here in this country. Mm-hmm. But then on our block, and we have a full city block in Atlanta, and so on our block, we also provide services to particularly to children. That seems to be kind of our emphasis and desire, and so we have a clothing shop that it looks just like a boutique, a special boutique that you would go to buy clothes for your children, but the clothes are free, and all of the children who come to us are referred to us from other local service agencies. And so every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, we have this party in the thrift store that is for these wonderful kids from our city who would otherwise not have a coat to go to school or wouldn't have school uniforms. And so that's one of the ministries that I really celebrate and appreciative of. And then also on the block, we have a recovery ministry for men who are both homeless and who have been addicted to any number of substances. And so it's a residential program, and those men provide services to All Saints. Mm-hmm. You will see them in our parking deck providing security or in our worship service worshiping with us as they seek to do this important work of recovering from addiction. So you come to the block, and there's just wonderful ministry happening right there with the people in the heart of the city.
Mm-hmm. The rector, Simon Mannering, is relatively new, but you've been there a while. And what areas of ministry do you focus on in your role as associate rector?
As associate rector at All Saints, I am responsible for adult formation, and that's adults ages 18 to, I like to remind people, our oldest member is 97 years old. And so we provide any number of Sunday school classes or book groups and just variety of experiences that help people deepen their relationship both with one another and with God. And so I help to provide some of those classes, but mainly help to connect some of the really gifted people that we have in our parish who can do that teaching, to give them opportunities and a platform to teach. And then I also oversee all the service ministries. So the ministries that I talked about of Covenant Community, which is our recovery center, or Threads, which is our shop for children, and the refugee ministries, those are all things that I oversee and that I am a part of. And then I also help All Saints parishioners engage in the city in other ways. So if you come to me and you say, Kim, I have a real passion for literacy, then it's my job to help connect people with other agencies in the city that are addressing issues of literacy.
And these are not necessarily easy times to stand up in controversial issues. What have you found are the best ways to make a positive influence in the community and beyond in terms of social action?
Yeah, so I've been engaged in social action and social justice ministry since I was in college at age 18, and I learned from my college chaplain how to do that work. And the thing that he taught me that was most important was to have relationships with both the people who are what some would call on the margins, the people who are the disenfranchised and dispossessed, and also to have relationships with the people in power who can make change. And so for me, as I've sought to live my life in ministry and really be an advocate for social change, that's what I've tried to do, is to have relationships with all of the people involved in this work, right? With both the people who are marginalized and who've been dispossessed and often whose voices have been silenced, and also with the people of power and ordinary citizens in between. But the relationships I've found have made a huge difference. And I can stand up in the pulpit of All Saints that has, you know, a really diverse group of people, particularly in terms of their politics. And because I can tell a story about a relationship with a person who's been on death row, then they can hear that story in a really different way than if I were to just stand and talk about death penalty and say how we should eliminate it. It really is about the relationship.
And Kim, you are already known for your preaching. In fact, you preached memorably at the last Episcopal General Convention. Who were some of your preaching mentors or exemplars?
Yeah, so I grew up in a Baptist church in Calpin, South Carolina, a very small town that has a one-stop light. And so my earliest experience of preaching happened in a small country Baptist church with my pastor, whose name is James Richard. He's still alive and still I'm still inspired by him today. And so I think he had a really strong emphasis on teaching in his preaching. And so that shows up for me. And then as I aged, I would say that the biggest influence on my preaching, ironically, has been gospel music. So it's less the preachers who stand up and proclaim, and much more the proclamation that happens through song.
And in your sermon, you are going to talk about singing. And today your sermon draws from Psalm 98, a beautiful song of praise. Would you read it for us?
Absolutely. Thank you, Peter. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Kim, we look forward to hearing your sermon. It's entitled, Quack Like a Duck, Singing in the Rain. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thanks, Peter. Each morning before even getting out of bed, I am still and listen for my animals. Can I hear the chickens singing their egg songs to make sure that everyone around knows that they just produced new eggs? Can I hear the distinct sounds of my sure-footed goats hopping over logs, foraging for breakfast and calling out to the others to come and taste something new? As Arnold, my cat, taken his place at the door and started demanding his morning meal. And I always know if it's raining, because the usual morning farm sounds are absent. The goats stay in and the chickens hold off on their singing. Even Arnold prefers to sleep in. At first, I will only hear the sound of rain. It's as if the animals have made some secret pact to never speak on rainy mornings. But then, when I listen a little closer and with a bit more focus, I can hear the sound of birds. The sounds are not melodic like the early morning songs of a nightingale, but I'm clear that my four ducks are, in fact, singing songs. While every other animal takes cover in the sheer distaste for rain, the ducks waddle their way to the farthest edge of the property. They find the biggest puddles in the yard and they make a joyful noise. They quack in a cacophony of delight and joy as water anoints their feathers and washes over their wings. The psalmist in today's appointed psalm instructs the people to sing songs to the Lord because of the marvelous things that God has done. Recalling historic victories and battles and celebrating a long-standing special relationship with God, the psalmist wants the people to sing because of the Lord's past record of showing steadfast love towards a particular group of people. There's this great emphasis on taking notice of the things that have already happened. The early verses of the psalm essentially say, "Hey, y'all, remember all those past sunshiny days? Remember when you felt victorious? Those days when we were on top? Remember those? Then y'all, let's sing with gratitude like we're still living in those days. Let's sing to the Lord and let God know that we haven't forgotten all of the wars that we've won." You see, my friends, the message in the beginning verses of Psalm 98 is so simple. God has done great things for a chosen people, so they ought to sing. And I imagine that for some of those people, this all made sense to them. They embraced this narrative that God was responsible for their victories in battle, and they believed that the might of God was expressed in the form of smiting their enemies. So with images of past sunshiny days running through their minds like a slideshow presentation, I'm sure that many of them began to sing to God. But then the psalmist makes this beautiful turn and changes the rationale for the invitation to sing. As if able to foretell a future when critics would rightfully balk against singing praises to God for selecting one group of people over another. As if suddenly realizing that people have reasons to sing even when they are no longer on top, even when the sun is not shining, even when they are captured and living in exile, the psalmist realizes that there is still good reason to sing and shifts the narrative. After verse 3, no longer is the singing to be in celebration of past bloody battles won. Instead, the lyricist invites all of creation to sing praises to God because of who God truly is, a God who will come and judge the world with righteousness and equity for everyone. No matter your position or station in the world, sing, says the psalmist, sing. Sing to the Lord because the God that we're singing to doesn't actually play favorites. Sing to God because the one who created all things will come again and restore equity to all. Sing to God even on the rainy days. Even when you know that you're not on top, sing to God because you have hope of a future
when God makes the hills low and lifts up the valley so that we are all on the same level, able to see each other just as we are, all made in the image of the one who created us. Sing, says the psalmist. And just in case singing isn't your thing, the psalm gives us permission to simply make a joyful noise. You need not sing in four-part harmony. Any joyful noise will do. The invitation is to make joy with whatever instrument one has. If you're human, then pick up the brass and stringed instruments. If you're the sea and the creatures therein, roar your praise. Floods, clap the earth with song. Give praise to the God whose might is made known through displays of a radical love for everyone. Now let me be clear. I'm not naive. Friends, I've read the newspaper and listened to the news, so I know that things are complicated in our world right now. It's safe to suggest that as we consider the various tragedies of our recent American experience, we aren't exactly living in sunshiny days. I get that. And I recognize that as individuals, our lives can be very complicated and hard. There's disappointment and grief, illness and loss. Those things are real. So it makes sense that during rainy days, during difficult times, the temptation is to clam up and take a vow of silence, to not say anything at all about or to our God. Friends, I get that impulse to shut down. But today, I echo the psalmist and invite you to sing a new song to God. Resist the impulse to become moored in silence on those rainy days and instead sing. Not because of an easy story of the good old days gone by, but sing because of the hope that comes from the promise of a day when God will restore all things and all people. Sing, dear friends. Because of the joy in knowing that God's grace is renewed every morning and God's faithfulness endures forever. And the next time it rains, I invite you to imitate my four ducks. Go, find the biggest puddle around and make a joyful noise as the heavenly waters wash over you and fill you with delight in the simple beauty of it all. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, thank you for choosing all of us to be your people. Please help us to work for righteousness and equity in the world so that we might all be drawn closer to you and your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Kimberly S. Jackson, Associate Rector of All Saints Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free printed transcript of her message for the sixth Sunday of Easter, Quack Like a Duck, Singing in the Rain, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. To listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos, visit us online at dayone.org. And keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. If you appreciate Day One, please consider sending a tax-deductible donation. We're grateful for your much-needed support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day One, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Juan Carlos Huertas, Senior Pastor of Grace Community United Methodist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. His message for Ascension Sunday is entitled, "Why Are You Looking Up?" Be sure to listen for it next time on Day One. This is Sherry Miller. In troubling times, God calls us to be people of hope because we worship a faithful God. The Day One Radio and Podcast Ministry provides hope through life-giving sermons by America's finest preachers. In fact, since 1945, when we began as the Protestant Hour, we've helped literally millions of people around the globe to experience God's hope through our weekly radio ministry. Please consider supporting us with a contribution. Your gift will help us continue to bring hope to the world through the ministry of God's Word. Mail your gift to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at day1.org. Thank you for your support, and may God bless you in all the days to come. Now, Kim Jackson offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Kim, as you noted at the beginning of your sermon, you have a wonderful animal menagerie at your home, and you talked about how they react during rainy weather. While all the chickens and goats and your cat are in hiding, the ducks get out in the rain and play in the puddles and quack for joy. I love that image. And I'm curious if your creatures teach you anything else about our Creator.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is, in many ways, the reasons why I have them. I didn't mention bees. I have beehives on my farm as well. And the bees are this incredible, they're an organism that functions together, and they sustain life for one another in this powerful way of building community with each other. And so often when I'm tending to them, I'm just mesmerized by how each of them has a job and they all do it, and it's all for the good of the community. And I really think that that's how God, in God's infinite wisdom, really thought about the design for us as well, that we would each use our gifts and skills and our call to care one for one another and to build beautiful community.
Well, here the psalmist encourages us all to remember the sunshiny days, the victories in life in the past, and to sing with gratitude to God about them. But can intentionally remembering the good times and praising God be sort of a form of denial?
Yeah, as I was writing this sermon, I was thinking especially about how in churches we will often hearken back to the good old days, a days when our pews may have been a bit more full, a day when our children may have been more inclined to come to church as teens. And I think the psalm is teaching us that, yeah, those things are great. And even when things aren't in that same way, that there's still a reason to sing, and that we have a responsibility and a call to look forward into the future as opposed to closing our eyes to our current existence and focusing and reminiscing and remembering the good old days.
But no matter what, sing, says the psalmist. And just in case singing isn't your thing, you said the psalm gives us permission to simply make a joyful noise, maybe even quack. But whatever is going on around us in the world or in our lives, would you say more about how we might use our lives to sing God's praise?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that there's some real value in actually singing, whether or not you're a good singer or not, that there's something that happens to our souls and our spirits when we sing. And I think that we can sing with our lives by being alive and present in the world and really sharing our gifts with others that we encounter. And so, you know, I'm a person who does a lot of social justice work. I believe in going to the people in power and asking that we think more intentionally about issues like affordable housing or how we might care for people who are without homes on the street. And I think that is a way of singing as well, a way of engaging and praising God by saying, you know, we are a part of this great network that God created, and the tune that we're offering is a tune that calls for greater harmony with all of God's children.
Kim, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
Yeah, well, I hope that you will quack like a duck on those rainy days. I've found that when I turn my heart towards a God who loves us and whose ultimate aim is to bring about righteousness and equity in the world, even on my lowest days, remembering that I love and am loved by that kind of God, it lifts my soul. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make all of the things that are wrong right. It doesn't make things better in that regard. But there is something really beautiful and holy about pausing to make a joyful noise to this God who loves us.
Mm. Kimberly Jackson, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.